Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, joined alongside Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, we're back from the weekend, and it was a busy weekend of roster activity for the Packers. And I think the place to start before we get into all the other machinations of everything that went on is that the Packers depth chart at outside linebacker has a completely different look now heading into week one compared to where we were just a short time ago. The Packers end up over the weekend. They sign Ahmad Brooks, the free agent from San Francisco who was released by the 49ers. They claim Chris Odom off waivers from the Atlanta Falcons and then trade Jayron Elliott to the Dallas Cowboys for a conditional draft choice. So a big shakeup there at that outside linebacker, but the most notable move being that a veteran and a former All-Pro in Ahmad Brooks is now here in Green Bay.
Ahmad Brooks joins the Packers roster. He's a guy that's actually played them five times before. They are very well accustomed to going up against Ahmad Brooks. Now finally have a chance to play with him. 33 years of age, as you mentioned, a two-time All-Pro, former Pro Bowler. Brings a lot of experience in a 3-4 scheme as an outside rusher. Vic Fangio, who was the defensive coordinator for Dom Capers when he was a head coach in both Carolina and Houston.
Yep.
He ran the show with the 49ers for a number of years when Brooks was really at the peak of his powers. So,
and that defense was at the peak of the league's powers. That was quite a unit.
Unbelievable. It was, yeah. That linebacking core in particular was exceptional. So now he hopes to kind of recapture some of that magic. The 49ers went in a different direction with their defense this year, switching to a 4-3 scheme. So he kind of was a little bit out of place. Now, you know, he kind of told reporters when his first media availability, there was some pessimism. You know, he wasn't really sure what to expect. He liked being in San Francisco, didn't really want to move on.
Sure.
But the Packers called, and he felt like it was a great opportunity.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see exactly what he can bring. I think the natural assumption is that you're sort of trying to replace Julius Peppers, the experience, the versatility in terms of pass rush, you know, run stopping ability. You know, Brooks can cover tight ends as well. I mean, as you said, he's sort of the prototypical 3-4 outside linebacker, and I think he's got a lot to offer this defense. You go to Chris Odom now, the waiver claim. Completely different type of player, and what I mean by that is a young guy, an undrafted rookie, has to make the transition from college defensive lineman to 3-4 outside linebacker. 6'4", 262, out of Arkansas State, did not get drafted, but was a player the Packers brought in for a pre-draft visit, which they like to do a lot with players that maybe they're thinking about taking either in the late rounds or as an undrafted rookie. Turned out that he signed with the Falcons but didn't make the team, and the Packers pounced.
Yeah, he had a productive preseason. I think it was 2 or 3 sacks that he had for them. They had him more in that 4-3 mold, kind of, you know, similar to what San Francisco is doing right now. Packers see him as a stand-up pass rusher, and the fact that, you know, they were willing to part ways with Jayron Elliott, who's been such a big locker room guy, has had so many good moments for them, and a leader on special teams.
Right.
Kind of tells you how highly they thought of Odom during this process. And an opportunity now to bring him in, to groom him, to teach him a 3-4. Mike McCarthy said both him and Ahmad Brooks spending a lot of time with Winston Moss right now, trying to learn the nuances of the Packers defense. In Odom's case, trying to pick up, you know, what it's like to be a 3-4 outside backer. That's going to be a tough challenge for him. But,
yep,
you know, based on your conversation with him, it seems like something he's really open to and excited about this opportunity.
Yeah, he tried to work a little bit, you know, in the stand-up two-point stance position in the pre-draft process, trying to make himself a little bit more marketable, a little,
yeah,
bit more versatile as a player. And you know, he seems confident he'll be able to make the transition. Interestingly, the Packers' first opponent here, week one, the Seattle Seahawks, an opponent that Ahmad Brooks has plenty of familiarity with from two meetings a year,
yeah,
plus a playoff meeting here or there from the days in the NFC West. And Brooks kind of jokingly said, when asked about whether he could play right away in week one for the Packers, he's like, hey, it's not that tough to rush the passer. Just get out there and go. He seems pretty fired up.
Yeah, it might sound like an oversimplification, but it is interesting. Outside pass rusher, particularly a guy that's moving from a 3-4 traditionally to another 3-4, yeah, you have to pick up the terminology, but the game is pretty much the same for them. And I think even a guy like Julius Peppers, who, mind you, he did have a full offseason to prepare for that switch when he came to Green Bay,
right,
how seamless it was for him as well. 33 is a number, and for a lot of positions, that's an older number, but pass rusher has sort of been this fountain of youth position in the NFL lately, especially when you're looking at more of a situational type pass rusher. That's not to say, you know, I don't know what Brooks's role is going to be. Mike McCarthy said they're going to move him around as one of those elephant type rushers. But the fact that you have Nick Perry and you have Clay Matthews, I think really gives them a lot of flexibility in how they use Brooks and exactly how he's going to be used in this first month of the season.
Yeah, and some good news as the Packers return to the practice field on Monday afternoon. Both Clay Matthews and Nick Perry, right, who were dealing with some minor injuries, they were back suited up on the practice field, so things looking good heading into week one.
Yeah, definitely. You know, after both those guys had to drop out of that third preseason game, a good sign for them now going forward to hopefully be at their full efficiency going into this game against the Seahawks.
All right, well, we've got other areas of the roster to talk about, and we'll get to that after this. Back with more on Packers Unscripted. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz over there. And Wes, backing up a day, we talked a lot in the last segment about the roster moves on Sunday, which changed the outside linebacker depth chart. But on Saturday, over the weekend, the Packers set their 53-man roster initially, and a lot of interesting news came out of that. First off, they started by keeping 10 offensive linemen, a large number. Then that was actually reduced to 9 because on Sunday, Don Barkley was put on injured reserve. But by going on injured reserve after the cut down to 53, he would be eligible to return at some point this year if the Packers decide to do that. At quarterback, Packers keep only 2, Aaron Rodgers and Brett Hundley. Taysom Hill and Joe Callahan both released. Taysom Hill gets claimed on waivers by the New Orleans Saints. Joe Callahan is brought back on the practice squad. At wide receiver, the Packers keep 5, although we expect that number to increase to 6 after week 1 when Geronimo Allison's suspension is served. And then all 3 of the rookie running back draft picks, Devontae Mays, Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, all end up making the team as backups to Ty Montgomery. So a lot to digest there. Where do you want to start?
Well, I think it's probably Aaron Rodgers making the roster for a 13th season.
Okay.
Might be a good spot.
Yeah,
No, but congratulations to him. Obviously nothing you want to joke about. It's a good accomplishment for anybody to make this roster. The 3 running backs is really interesting, the 3 rookie running backs. And I think you and I, before we left after the preseason finale on Thursday night, were kind of talking about how this is going to shuffle out. At that point, I was pretty well set in my mind that they would keep all 3.
Yep, I was too.
Because of how each one of them sort of showed something.
Yep.
You look at Jamal Williams, the between the tackles running, the pass protection. Aaron Jones had the 2 biggest explosive runs, along with the one from Ty Montgomery of the preseason. And then Devontae Mays, how, you know, big, punishing back, but also really fluid in the open field. I think there was enough justification for the Packers to keep all 3. Joe Carriage ends up going on an IR with that calf injury. So it's not to say I don't know how that would have shuffled out if he was healthy.
Right.
But whatever the case may be, with Aaron Ripkowski as your fullback, Ty Montgomery as your starting running back, I think it made a lot of sense for him to keep these 3 running backs. When you flip back a year ago at this time, Packers end up losing all 3 of their top running backs within the first 5 weeks of the season, so that depth is important.
Right, and that's what I was going to say, is we're getting a lot of questions in our insider inbox column and everything. Why would the Packers keep, you know, all 3 of the rookie draft picks behind Montgomery when you're such a passing team and the offense runs through Aaron Rodgers? You said it, Wes. Just look back to last year when you lose Eddie Lacy, you lose James Starks. By the middle of the season, you're counting on Ty Montgomery, a converted receiver, and then Aaron Ripkowski, your fullback, to be your ball carriers, right, you know, in significant portions of ball games. So it's a position that is physically demanding. I mean, these guys, even after just a few games, can get beat up. It's a very difficult position to be able to carry the ball, you know, 10, 15, 17 times a game, whatever it might be. So the more the merrier. If you feel like they deserve a spot on an NFL roster, why not hang on to them?
Yeah, the other thing you got to consider, too, is the fact that I think all 3 of those guys can be utilized on special teams as well. This isn't a situation where these guys are just going to be game day scratches, healthy scratches. They're just there to take up a roster spot. I think, you know, Ron Zook's going to be able to use them in different ways too. We've seen Mays on some of the coverage units. You've seen Aaron Jones returning kickoffs at times. I think Jamal Williams gives you an interesting, you know, maybe personal protector on punt coverage units.
Sure.
So there's a lot of flexibility there. And then also, let's not discount this too. I think the Packers have a lot of confidence in Ben Sermons, their running backs coach, going into his second year now in Green Bay.
Yep.
Last year they threw, I think it was 13 or 14 different running backs at him to tutor throughout the course of the season. Now he has three really good prospects to work with, in addition to Ty Montgomery, who, as Mike McCarthy said, you know, his development's over. He's a starting running back now. It's time to go.
Yeah.
So I think the Packers have confidence in all four of those guys, along with Rutkowski, to lead this running game in the right direction.
Yeah, backtracking just a minute to touch on the wide receiver situation, because that was something we discussed throughout training camp and even through the offseason. Beyond the big three of Nelson, Adams, and Cobb, the Packers end up keeping only two additional receivers, Jeff Janis and Trevor Davis. I think, as you talked about special teams with the running backs, I think that was really the ultimate decider. Jeff Janis and Trevor Davis, both guys who are potentially going to play very big roles on special teams. Geronimo Allison goes on the suspended list, but D'Angelo Yancey, Malachi Dupree, the two draft picks, Max McCaffrey, who had a very solid training camp in preseason, they all get released. The only one who comes back is Yancey, comes back to sign on the practice squad. So a lot of changes there at wide receiver. But I think once Allison comes off the suspended list, my personal opinion is they will find that roster spot from somewhere else. I think they're going to carry six receivers once Allison is back.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Mike, because of how they, you know what Jeff Janis gives you. I mean, he's too valuable as a special teams player in addition to what his upside still is as a receiver. I think Trevor Davis had probably as good of a camp as any of those young receivers when,
yep,
when you break it down in terms of what he did as a punt returner and some of the things and the improvements he made offensively. Packers also have a nice young prospect in Michael Clark that comes back on the practice squad as well.
That's right. I forgot to mention Clark.
With Yancey. So it's interesting. You know, we always talk about cuts and decisions and tough calls that need to be made. The Packers really called this pretty well. I mean, they, you know, all the five receivers that they ended up cutting were available for the practice squad. They kept the five on the roster. And then obviously you get Allison back as soon as he's back from the suspension and cleared from the concussion protocol. So I think they're sitting pretty well right now at that position going forward.
Yeah, all right. Well, with that, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkowitz in that one over there. Wes, shifting gears back to the defense, the 53-man roster ends up with 12 total defensive backs. I guess I would say, and we talked a lot about the depth at corner, the depth at safety. I think if there was a surprise in the bunch, it's that undrafted rookie Lenzi Pipkins at cornerback, who came to the Packers via Louisiana Monroe and then Oklahoma State and then through the undrafted route, ends up making the 53-man roster. And, you know, an interesting story, a fast guy, a prospect, obviously, that that the Packers like, made some waves, I guess you might say, in that very first preseason game against the Eagles when Demarius Randall exits early with the concussion, and kind of carried that then through the rest of the preseason to earn a roster spot.
Yeah, it's a great point, Mike, and it is funny. I mean, if nothing really symbolizes defense in 2017, it's keeping 12 defensive backs
yeah,
on the roster. The Packers actually did it last year, too. They just went heavy at safety rather than cornerback, but seven cornerbacks they go with on this roster. When you see, much like with the running backs, what happened a year ago, I think that's perfect validation for going in that direction. Josh Hawkins is another year wiser. And now you have another undrafted project to work with in Lenzi Pipkins. And it's funny, when you go back to the undrafted free agency period, Pipkins was the one guy that really stood out to me just because of his credentials. There were sort of those unknowns with him being a grad transfer to Oklahoma State. We weren't really sure, you know, he'd only played like major FBS level football, you know, for 1 year. So
right,
how would his game translate? I think you saw the tools he has to work with. He didn't have, like, that big interception or the gaudy play that jumps out.
Right.
But I think he was really consistent and showed good tackling ability. And when you look at Joe Witt and his track record with undrafted cornerbacks, I think Pipkins is a fine candidate to work with him.
Yeah, he's a really interesting prospect. He only played, only started playing football in high school as a senior. Wow. And then, as I said, ends up going to Louisiana Monroe, becomes a graduate transfer to Oklahoma State for that 1 year of FBS football. So you're talking about it, and he, in fact, admitted to me when I talked to him at his locker the other day after he made the roster, he even admits he's still raw. He feels like there's still so much in front of him, so much that he has to learn, so much development ahead of him, and we'll just have to see where it goes from here.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because you go back and you look at – I mentioned that track record of Joe Witt with undrafted guys. A lot of raw guys he's worked with, too. You had Tremont Williams, the former walk-on. You know, I think he was going for, what was it, information technology or whatever,
yeah,
at Louisiana Tech,
yeah.
And he ends up becoming a Pro Bowler. Sam Shields converts from receiver to cornerback, becomes a Pro Bowler. Even a guy like Josh Hawkins from East Carolina, you saw the development he made and the step he took. The two biggest things the Packers look for in those cornerbacks is length and speed. Pipkins, he meets that requirement, and it is a position where those are the intangibles. Those are things you can't coach, and he appears to possess those abilities.
Yeah, and a couple of other things to discuss with regards to the defensive line. Somewhat surprisingly, on Monday at practice, we saw third-round draft pick Montrevious Adams from Auburn was back on the practice field from that foot injury. Now he's not going full speed, or he's not unlimited in terms of what he can do in practice yet. But a lot of people wondering maybe if he was headed to injured reserve for more of a prolonged recovery. So a good sign that maybe he'll be back sooner rather than later. And then another thing, the Packers had a tough call to make between two young guys that both had a pretty good training camp, solid preseason, between Brian Price and Christian Ringo on that defensive line. The Packers opt for Ringo to keep him on the roster. Price gets released and then gets claimed on waivers by the Dallas Cowboys. So I think a tough decision there, could have gone either way. I think the Packers would have liked to have kept both players, but obviously with, there's only so many spots and they have to make those tough calls. But two young guys that both showed that they belong in the NFL, I think.
Yeah, it was probably a no-win situation for the Packers in that regard, because I think Ringo probably gets claimed, too, if they get rid of him, you know, in those cuts.
Yeah.
You wish Price well. A lot of ability there, very strong. We'll see exactly how that develops with the Cowboys. Packers defensive line-wise, though, right now, I think you have to be pretty happy if you're Mike Turkaback and Dom Capers looking at that group going into the season.
Yeah. All right, well, before we go to a break, Wes, we'll take care of a little sponsor business. Picture this. You and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. Two pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 11 by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/best seats. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford sitting alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. Wes, before we go, on the offensive line, I mentioned before, Packers have 9 on the current roster with Don Barkley going to injured reserve. But another piece of news on that unit in that starting left guard Lane Taylor signs a contract extension this past week. And boy, you look at his story, undrafted back in, was it 2013?
2013.
And now, you know, talk about, you know, taking the hard road, I guess you would say. And as Mike McCarthy said when he was asked about Taylor's contract extension, this is a guy who's earned it.
He certainly has. And it's such an interesting road he took, because it's not even like he got on the roster and then just an opportunity happened right away and he starts and he was running with it. He had to wait 3 long years behind TJ Lang and Josh Sitton for that opportunity.
Yep.
And I think there, when the Packers did make the decision to part ways with Sitton last training camp, I just remember all the inbox questions, all the comments on Twitter. people just absolutely freaking out about, well, you're losing Sitton, this is going to destroy everything. In that first week going in the Jacksonville game, it was a storyline. And then come that next Wednesday, the first availability of week two, you didn't hear Lane Taylor's name again.
Yeah.
And it's remarkable. I wrote about this in our story on Packers.com. 41 offensive linemen were drafted that year. Taylor's the one that pointed it out, that it was the most offensive lineman ever taken. And he wasn't one of them.
Interesting how these guys pay attention to that kind of stuff,
though. It's hilarious,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's something that has stayed with him, and he's carried it with him, and he plans to still keep it on his shoulders now going into this contract extension. A really interesting honor for him, a great honor, and now a chance to keep working next to David Bakhtiari for a number of years.
Yeah, I mean, I remember back to Taylor's rookie year, and you know, you and I have been doing this for a while now. You get a sense early on, you know, especially with big guys,
yeah,
whether the game is too big for them or whether they kind of look like they just belong, like they'll find a way to fit in. And I think, you know, right from the get-go, watching some of those practices, his first training camp, if you didn't know that Lane Taylor was undrafted, you wouldn't have picked it out. You would have said, yeah, that guy's probably one of the 8 or 9 draft picks on this team, because he looked like a legitimate prospect right away. And it was no surprise, as far as these undrafted guys who end up making the roster as rookies, it was absolutely no surprise in 2013 that Taylor was still there on cutdown day.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, even the one-on-ones his rookie year, I mean, you could just see his brute strength.
Yeah.
And he is. He's, I think, one of the heaviest guys on the roster at 324, but he carries it so well. He's just such a, you know, it's an interesting thing in terms of how he's built and how he's able to really stymie the bull rush inside, the reps he's taking next to Mike Daniels.
Yeah.
And also one other thing to consider too, 2013 was not a good year for offensive linemen. There were a lot of busts in that draft. The Packers walked away with Bakhtiari, Taylor, and J.C. Treader, really made a lot of hay.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because Taylor has talked about how Mike Daniels helped to make him a better player.
Yeah.
Now sometimes Taylor maybe is helping to make Daniels a better player with all of their one-on-one
Absolutely.
Matchups. But with that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, you can find him at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.